We're back again.
We are back. All right, let's start off episode 6.
Okay. This is actually a really cool story. So we all had these matching t-shirts and we went to Disney.
Okay.
My mom made one for herself when we went to the Hollywood Studios, which has like the Star Wars stuff. She made a shirt that says, "I speak Wookiee," right? So we have to meet Chewbacca, right? Yeah. So we're standing in the line to meet him. We get right up to the front, and the first thing he does is he points at my mom's shirt, and he's like, she's like, "Yeah, I know, I speak Wookiee." And then he's like, he gives her a hug, and then I was like, "I speak Wookiee too." And he like makes like a gesture, like, "All right, go ahead." And I was like, and he just looked at me, kind of like shook his head, like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Oh." It was great. It was so cool.
That's awesome, dude. That's really awesome. Dude,
we had
that's a good segue.
It's a good segue.
Solo, a Star Wars movie. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. I saw it, I think, the second day it was out because I couldn't wait. I had to know. Okay. Because we've talked about this before. Like,
yeah.
I don't think either of us like expected it to be great.
No.
But the longer I thought about it, the more I was like, I don't know, but maybe, you know, just maybe it'll be good.
You can't rule out a Star Wars movie just because
you can't.
It's all about hope. And I'm going to hope the movie's going to be good, even if I have all these doubts.
All right, so what do you think? Did you feel about it?
I liked it. I liked it, too.
It didn't have – I think it definitely had a lot of problems, but I really enjoyed it. I liked it better than I think I liked Rogue One.
In my opinion, it was – way better than Rogue One.
Yeah. He wasn't great at times, but the way he interacted with Donald Glover and Emilia Clarke and Woody Harrelson, like, I kind of felt like those were the best parts of the movie.
He had some moments where I was like, okay, that sounds like Han. And it took a while for me to warm up to him, but by the end I was like, all right, I think he did a good job, way better than I thought he was going to do.
He definitely did better than I thought he was going to do. I loved how he, because you could tell how much work he put into Harrison Ford's mannerisms and just the way he carried himself.
Yes.
And especially when he was like in that one gunfight on Kessel, just the way he was like holding his hand and shooting his gun. I was like, okay, that's Han Solo right there.
Oh yeah. When he was boarding the Falcon, he's just like really limp with the wrist, just like flailing around.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
Okay. So what did you not like about it?
I was not a fan of at all of pretty much almost everything that happened on the Kessel Run, from going the way that storm looked when they flew into it, whatever that space storm thing was awesome.
Yeah.
When they were on the little planet grabbing the fuel, I was just kind of like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then when they were escaping from the giant tentacle monster in space.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like they tried to put so much tension into that. Is the Millennium Falcon going to go? Is it not? Is it going to go? And then it didn't go. And then it did go. We're like, I was like, come on. We know he gets out of this. And it's fine to put tension in it. But then the whole thing was like a 15-minute like sequence. Just, I don't know. But I didn't
have a problem with it. I really didn't. I loved the Kessel Run because it was like, we did it in 12. And it was just so, it was great. It was great. You know what my favorite scene in the movie was?
What?
When they met, when him and Chewie met in the pit.
It was a good scene. I liked it.
He's about to kill him. And then they get out of there together. And then it was just, like, I had never even thought of how Han and Chewie met. Like, I don't know. I just never even imagined how it happened.
I didn't either.
And then they showed me that. I was like, that was perfect. That is perfect. It's such a Han and Chewie thing to just want to kill each other and then just love each other instantly the next second.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great.
I like that.
Amelia was good.
Amelia was great.
Gosh, dude, I can't get over her. I really can't get over her.
I liked Woody Harrelson's character a lot, which honestly surprised me. I thought he was just going to be kind of like some run-of-the-mill, kind of mentor.
Woody Harrelson character.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson character. And I guess he didn't really go too far out of his comfort zone, but he did really good in this movie.
I've always been a fan of Woody. I like everything he's in. He's not a guy I'm going to, like, if you ask me what's your favorite actor, he's never going to pop in my head. But when he's in a movie, he's solid. He's just solid.
Yeah. He's a very good supporting character, like, actor.
What I hate, another... What I
hated. One other really weird part. Oh, you go ahead.
What I hated so much was Darth Maul.
Yeah.
I hated it.
It felt so out of touch with the rest of the movie. That was like it was just kind of like grounded, like space crime movie. And then they threw Darth Maul in there.
Yeah, it was like, and he's like on some sort of like mechanical spider legs. He looks so fake. Why even do that?
Why is he activating his lightsaber on a holographic phone call? Like, come on, man. What's that gonna do?
Like, what was the point of even bringing him in? Like, why? It would have made so much more sense to just have Palpatine or Vader there.
Yeah, I agree.
Did they go into the meeting with Kathleen Kennedy and say, hey, I want to bring Darth Maul back? And she says, oh, yeah, he's alive in the Clone Wars animated series, so let's go for it. What?
That honestly is the only reason I can even think of, like, why they would bring him back. I think they're trying to build up to maybe a Kenobi-Obi-Wan face-off in the Kenobi movie, or at least one of them. And so there's like, all right, well, let's make sure people know he's alive right now.
That's interesting.
That's the only thing I can think of, but it kind of threw it off in the rest of the... Like I love the ending up until then.
I did too. Her
not going with Han, like, betraying everybody, shooting Woody Harrelson after he was about to shoot him. That was great.
Yeah, when I saw Darth Maul, I looked over to Nick and I said, huh? And then I started doing math in my head. I was like, okay, Han Solo is probably 25 in this movie. Like, it doesn't add up. If Darth Maul's still alive, Anakin's a young boy, he's got 20 years until he pops out Luke and Leia. Like, I was like doing all this math. I'm like, this makes no sense. That means Han would be like 65, 70 when he meets a Luke for the first time. And I was like, Nick, how does this make any sense? He's like, I don't know. I think he's still alive. I was like, what?
I didn't like that.
I liked it.
The other thing that really stood out to me that was just kind of like, what? Is when they're doing the whole snow train robbery sequence.
You didn't like that?
I liked it. I didn't like Woody Harrelson's wife, girlfriend, deciding to just blow herself up for really no reason. Like, there had to have been any other options she could have taken. She could have, like, I mean, while they're getting shot by all these people, they could have, like, decided, hey, there's got to be another way we can do this. Let's just peel out because I'm going to die and you guys aren't going to get the thing anyway.
That may have simply been, let's get another female in the cast so we don't get blasted for being anti-feminist.
And let's make her racially diverse so we don't get blasted for being, like, all white. So, well,
I guess in that frame of mind, I am even more surprised that they killed her off.
Yeah. But I love Donald Glover. Donald Glover was amazing. I thought he was so good as Lando.
He was so good in his little card, cheating move he pulled. Because when he first won, I was like, okay, how is Han going to get the Millennium? How's he going to do this? Amazing scene at the end. I loved it. I was like, oh, he likes.
I loved how he called him Han, like when they were first meeting. I was like, okay,
when he called him Han, retconned that. This is great. It's so subtle, and I loved it. I loved it. So
and he had like
that one. What?
He had like that cocky, confident, but he really he's acting like, oh, my ship's great, my ship's cool, I'm the best guy here, and his ship is just like in the junkyard under lockdown.
Yeah,
he played it off so well.
I would have this movie above Rogue One, above Phantom, and above Clone Wars.
I think that's accurate. That's about where I have it too. Yeah, same. Just under Revenge of the Sith, probably. Or maybe right there with it. It depends on if I'd probably have to watch it again.
So I started an IMDb account because Nick's been hounding me for weeks and weeks and weeks to make one and start ranking my movies.
Okay.
Because I'll walk out of the theater, I'm like, Nick, I think that movie was a 7. He's like, no, that was a 5, and I don't care what you say until I see your list, because you're way off. So I started ranking. So yesterday, I ranked my Star Wars movies, and I gave The Last Jedi a 6.
I think that's accurate.
I gave Phantom a 5 and Attack of the Clones a 4.
What do you have as your top?
I have New Hope at a 10.
Okay.
I have Empire at an 8, Return of the Jedi 7, I had Force Awakens at an 8, and I think I had Last Jedi at 6.
Okay, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. So
I don't know, but I hope they do a sequel. I felt like they were trying to set up for a sequel, maybe, because I couldn't tell because they said they were going to go to Tatooine, which made me think, all right, so this is where they meet up with Luke and Ben. But then Darth Maul is still alive, and we know that Ben doesn't face Darth Maul, because then he just goes and the Death Star and dies like immediately after that.
Like, the timeline makes no sense with Darth Maul. It still doesn't.
Yeah, but yeah, there is a Clone Wars. There's a Clone Wars episode where he kills Darth Maul, and he's already old Ben. So I think there's got to be at least one more movie between when Han Solo and Chewie meet Luke.
All right, so you think now that they're going to come out with an Obi-Wan movie, and in that movie, he's going to fight Darth Maul, and maybe Emilia Clarke will get killed by Han or something. You think it's going to be like a tie together?
See, yeah. I really wish you. I think it'd be so cool if they could make, like, you know, like Ben meets Han, but they're not going to do that because he doesn't.
Yeah.
But it really feels like they're trying to tie it as close together as possible without ruining the canon.
Yeah, how are they going to do that?
I don't know, but I'm excited. I can't wait. Can't wait for this. We have episode 9 next year.
I know.
Is it next year? Yeah, it's next year.
It's next year. Probably next December, like 2 Decembers from now.
Yeah.
It's going to be a while. Really sad. But JJ's going to save us.
He is. Please.
So I'm on the boat, and it was like one of the last days of the cruise, and it was like 40 degrees on top of the ship at night. It was like 11 at night. We're in the middle of the Atlantic. It's freezing. And they played The Last Jedi on the big screen out by the pool.
Oh, that's really cool.
So we sat in the hot tub and we watched it. And this is the first time I've seen it since theaters.
Oh, wow.
And I just my issues with the movie, like, everything, I'm just like, wow, this is horrible. This is awful. Why did he do
that? I know what you mean.
Like, it started making me mad.
I probably watched it another 3 times since we saw it in theaters. And each time, I just come away like, this part was bad. This part was bad. The best watch through I had was when I watched it with my roommate, and we just skipped every scene that Rose was in. And it gave the movie way more Daisy Ridley and Kylo, I forgot his name.
Kylo Ren. Did you see?
Yeah.
What's his name? I don't remember.
Adam Driver.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, shoot. What was I about to say? Oh, dang it. Oh, did you see that Rose, like, quit Instagram?
Yeah. So the internet got to her. She couldn't. I feel bad because, like, I mean, I'm not that person that's going to tweet, like, yeah, I didn't like you in this movie, but I didn't like her in the movie. And just to imagine, like, all the internet trolls coming after. Feel bad, but I mean, I don't know. I hope JJ kind of makes sure she doesn't really get a ton of screen time
here's
in the next one.
Yeah, here's my other issue. I left Force Awakens, and I couldn't wait for the next one because I had so many questions. There were so many things unanswered. There were so many storylines.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, when I think about whatever the last one's going to be called, what am I looking forward to? Snoke's dead. Rey does not have any conspiracy theory parents to talk about.
Nope.
Knights of Ren don't seem to be there. What's going to happen? Luke's dead. What's going to happen?
So we only really know 2 things. We know that they're going to have to find a way to kill off Leia, and that Rey and Kylo are going to have some sort of confrontation, which is really the only thing I'm excited for, is seeing what happens next time they meet.
Yeah. I don't know what Ryan Johnson was thinking. Who did he write that script?
I think he did.
How did it get approved? Why did Kathleen Kennedy approve it? Like, he tore off all the good storylines J.J. Abrams set up for the next 2 movies. He squandered them all in 1 movie.
Yep.
This makes me upset. It just makes me very upset.
All right, but I do have. All right, let's talk about this because there are a couple more stories that. Because you were off the grid for a while, so I want to make sure you hear these.
Yes, film.
Okay. Here's what happened. Just try not to. Try not to judge me too hard. All right, so.
No judgment here.
Where did it start? Okay, so. I'll tell you who it is after the podcast, because I don't want, like, no one listens to this. that does to know. Because you know her. So
I know this person?
You know this person.
Okay.
So we...
Will I be able to know before you tell me who this is?
I don't know. You could probably... I wouldn't be surprised if you guessed it. Okay. So it was probably like the week before I left for vacation.
Okay.
There was this one girl. She just popped up on my suggested friends on Facebook, right? And I think she's cute.
Okay.
I think she's really smart. I enjoyed talking to her. And so I was like, because I'm not going to see her again until the fall starts. So if I didn't send it now, I feel like it would be weird if I sent it like at the beginning of the school year to try to connect with her.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I wanted to make sure, like, you know, I'm still fresh in her mind, sort of.
Yeah.
So I'll just send it now. So I sent it. And then, like, a few days later, she accepted. I was like, cool. And everybody was like, okay, now what are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know. Is it weird if I message her? And he's like, it's weird if you don't message her and then message her later. So just message her now.
Okay.
And so it started off good. Like, I know we've talked about this before, but messaging or texting when you can't actually talk to the person is the worst.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't see them in person, I feel like it's so hard to actually cultivate some sort of relationship. And so it went okay.
So what'd you send?
So she was running for president of this club. She didn't get it.
Okay.
And I said, hey, I just wanted to say, I thought you would have made a great president. You ran a great campaign. I'm sure you'll get him back next year.
Is this a club that we were in together?
Yes, it is. There you go.
I think so, I know what you're talking about then.
Yeah. So we talked for about a week, and then we both went on vacation. And she went off the grid on vacation and came back. And part of it is just like, there's so many like social, I don't know. Is there like norms in tech? I feel like there is. I thought about it way too much. This is where I went wrong. Not that it really went horribly. It did not go horribly wrong.
Okay.
I want to, like, it could have gone a lot worse. But eventually it just got to the point where I just got so like self-conscious, like, does she want to talk to me? I can't tell because I can't see her in person. I can't figure out like what's going on. And she was going to be like extremely busy this summer. So I just said, I'll see you in the fall. Thanks. We'll talk later. So that's how vacation started, like with the girl.
Okay.
And it's just like, once you start looking for like cute girls, did you see them everywhere?
Yeah.
So we were on vacation. I was wearing my Slytherin shirt at Harry Potter Land. And I really only saw this one Slytherin. And she was so cute. And I was like, just go up and ask for a picture. It's not weird. It's an amusement park. People get pictures all the time. And I was like psyching myself up for it. So I handed my phone to my dad. I was like, take a picture of me with her. And he's like, okay, yeah. And so I went up. I talked to her. It was really cool. And I'd send you the picture, but it's literally pitch black because my dad took it and it was facing the wrong direction. It was facing the inside of his shirt and you can't see anything. I was like, I don't have any proof of this. Are you kidding me?
It's just a big joke.
Just a big joke. Oh,
dude,
man.
That's brutal, sir. That's awful.
What about you? Any European women?
Here's what I'll say about that. There's a vibe over there. That is, you just got to experience it. It's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, you know, here, like the girl you message on Facebook, it was like a high pressure situation. And like a girl here, if you start talking to her, she is expecting, like, she thinks that you're advancing on her. There's a vibe over there where it's like, no one cares. It's just like a big hangout. And you can just talk to people and there's no like awkward, like, whoa, bro, don't talk to me. Like, it's just, it's laid back. Everyone's kind of open and free and everyone's walking around and like their adrenaline's pumping and their hearts beat. I don't know. So that's what I'll say in general about the women. But here's the saddest part of the trip.
Oh, let me hear it.
2,500 people on the boat. Okay.
Okay.
17 kids.
17 kids?
That's
it?
It. It was basically a floating old folks home.
Like, that's the worst.
TC, there were canes and scooters everywhere. Everyone,
oh, man.
Everyone was 60 plus.
That's so depressing.
We were probably, because I don't think we count as kids because we're all over 21.
Yeah.
Actually, Nick counts, I think, because he's still 20. But it was so sad. I'm telling you, nothing to work with. Nothing.
Because nothing. It's like going to class. Like, I mean, yep, you have to go, but having like just one cute girl just makes it way better. And so like, you're going to enjoy yourself on vacation, but if there's just like one girl that you're never going to talk to, just sitting across the pool deck, suddenly it's that much better.
It is. It instantly raises the stakes. It instantly makes things more fun. It's just how it is. And I didn't experience any of that for 3 weeks. Like, none of it. Like, it was like, it was dry. It was dry.
So I get back from vacation and I texted you this story. I'll give you the full account here.
Okay.
Because this is probably like one of the most humiliating moments of the past 2 years for me. So I go to Chick-fil-A. I've been going like, I mean, you know me. It's like every day.
Right.
And I know, like, there's this one girl. And, like, I've talked to her more now than I have in the past. So I shouldn't have had problems. Like, I'm just having a normal conversation. I'm not trying to really hit on her. I'm just trying to talk to her.
Right.
Right. So the first one goes fine. I get my food. I order from her. We chat a little bit. I go sit at my table. And I have it down to a science. Like, I know what to eat and how to eat it the fastest so that I can go get a refill and talk to her again.
You're so a moron, I go, but you're also on another way. You're a genius.
So I get back up. I ask her for some more Dr. Pepper. She's refilling my cup. And she asks me, how's your day going? And I don't know if it was like just like, maybe it was just like her eyes looked really pretty that day. Or maybe I tried to say two things at the same time. But all I said was that. And then I was like, what am I saying? Stop. And so I just stopped talking. And I'm like, what's happening? I can just feel my face just go like on fire. And she looks at me like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. And I couldn't look. I was like staring down at my feet, like just kind of reaching for my cup as she handed it to me. And she's like, okay, well, have a good day. I was like, yeah, thanks. And I just walked back to my table and sat there in shame.
That's humiliating, but I'm proud of you for talking to her. That's all that matters. I'm very proud of you for that.
Baby steps.
One of these times, everything's going to come together, and you're going to have all these failures and so much practice. It's just going to be amazing. You're going to be fine. Just keep swinging the bat, baby.
Oh, man. We had one of the classes I'm taking is interpersonal communication.
Oh, nice.
And so we took – yeah, it's actually really cool, but we just took this quiz that went over, like – different conversational skills like adaptability, conversation involvement, and conversation management, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we had to write a 6-page paper about it.
Wow.
And for every claim we made about whether we were good or bad at this skill, we had to give an example or a story from our life that proves it.
Okay.
And so I wrote the whole paper under the thesis that I'm pretty good in conversations between people in pretty much any scenario, except when I'm talking to a girl I have a crush on. And so for every paragraph, I would write about how I interact with normal people and then how all those skills fail when I talk to someone I have a crush on. And it was just a little depressing about how many stories I had to pick from, okay, which one do I use here? They all kind of work.
You know, I know you hate those stories, but those are the stories I love to hear from you. So at least someone's appreciating them.
Yeah, but it made it fun to actually write the paper.
So did you get down to any things that you like? Did you identify any specific things you need to address?
Okay, so one thing that in my so here I have the paper right here. So my strongest thing was conversational involvement, which is just basically like saying just enough so people know that you're paying attention in the conversation, right?
Yeah.
And so you're just really not doing anything.
Okay. That's a good skill.
So it's a really good skill to have. Yeah. So the other day, I was talking to this is another girl I have a crush on at my apartment complex.
Is this the 10 that you talked to that one day, you moron?
10.
The one that got eaten by 9 or whatever? You moron.
Different girl.
Still mad
different
about
girl.
That. But continue.
So, but, okay, so her, I don't want to say her name either. I'm trying to be really careful here because you never know.
Okay.
So, we'll call her B. Her name is B, and she just got hired, like, a few weeks ago. And so I was talking to her, and she was just, I was like, you know, like when you're trying to talk to a girl, you're literally like just trying to keep the conversation going, saying anything that comes to your head.
Yeah.
And so I asked her, how long does it take you to do your hair in the morning? Because she has this really complex, listen, she
you
has this really complex hairstyle. And so she's like, she proceeds to like undo it and then show me how to do it and how long it takes. And while she's just doing all that, I completely zone out of the conversation. I'm not paying attention. And I'm just like, wow, she looks really pretty right now. And but my mouth is still going. I'm saying things like, yeah, okay, yeah, that looks nice, you know. And that's conversational involvement. It's one of my strengths. So
you're an animal, sir. That's amazing. That's amazing.
That was a story I put in. I put that in my paper for a grade.
What'd you get back? Did you get an A?
I don't know. I just turned it in yesterday, so I'll let you know when I figure it out. I better get an A. I put so much work into that.
So this is an interesting situation. You go to a girl and you ask her about her hair and she starts playing with it. I'm a firm believer that if you are in a room with a girl or you walk past a girl and she like plays with her hair, you're in.
I've heard that's a good sign.
I think it's the best sign because it's very unconscious. They don't even know they're doing
it.
Does this apply, though? Since you asked her about her hair. I don't know.
I don't know. But so here is where this kind of... You're going to think I'm really shallow. I'm sorry for it. But I can't remember if I've told you this story either. I feel like it's probably come up, but you might not remember it.
Okay,
hit me. So junior year, I was talking to this one girl in high school. And we were both in high school. Not junior year of college. We were both in junior year of high school. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to be careful. I mean, people like Jeff, you never know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We've been talking for, we weren't dating. I want to make that abundantly clear. We were talking for about a month. And, okay. Like, really, every single day we were texting back and forth and talking in class. And we went on one, I think it was just one date. And then I went on this, like, leadership conference to Washington, D.C. for about a week. Okay. And while I was on that conference, she had sent me a text saying, what do you think would happen? Like, do you think I would look nice with short hair? Like, I want to get it cut.
Okay.
And I don't know how you feel about it. I find long hair more attractive. And
I would agree. I would agree. Yeah, I would agree.
Some girls can really pull it off. They look really good with short hair. I just find long hair more attractive. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you can never say that. Like, they ask you, what do you think would happen if I got a haircut? Like, oh, I think you look great. What am I supposed to say?
Yeah, there's one answer in that situation.
So, she texted me later that week saying, I just got my haircut. It didn't look exactly how I wanted, but I think it still looks good. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. So, I get back to school. And she had a literal buzz cut.
What?
I'm not, it was just a buzz cut.
What? Wait, who are you talking about?
I'll tell you later.
Drop me a hint right now, please.
I don't think you would know her. This is why.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So, yeah, she had a buzz cut. And it was after that, I felt really, really bad about it, but I just couldn't. I mean, I couldn't do it.
Dude, it's like I'm sitting here right now talking to Jerry Seinfeld. Or George Costanza. I mean, this is just gold.
Like, if there's one thing that I really feel bad about years later that I know is my fault, it's that. It's like I couldn't like her anymore after she got her haircut. I know that's incredibly shallow,
but
I just couldn't.
But it's not. It's not shallow. It's just the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, when a girl says short hair, you're thinking maybe like a bob, maybe at the shoulders.
Yeah,
thank you. Buzz.
Right? Right.
I mean, what is she, a skinhead? What is that? Like, who? What kind of girl gets a buzz?
I think she's a vegan now.
Oh, it's a good thing you got out of that.
I know. So, hindsight. But, so, I was talking to that girl that's up at this apartment complex yesterday.
Okay.
And we were just talking, and I asked her, like, you know, what's going on, anything new? And she's like, I think about getting a haircut. And instantly, it was like, the only way I can describe it is, like, similar to PTSD. I was like, oh, no, not again, not again, not again.
Dude. So, what'd you say this time?
What am I supposed to say? I said the same thing. Like, yeah, that would make sense. You can't say anything else.
I hope she comes in and it's awful looking. And it's just, it's,
so
chemistry's dead from then on.
Like, both my roommates know I like her. And they're like, ask her out. And I'm like, I have to wait and see. Because I have to be sure that she's not, like, a buzz cut person, you know?
Yeah. Your roommates sound like a bunch of clowns. Oh, you got it. Shoot your shot, man. Take the
That's
shot.
What they say all the time. Just go for it. Ask her out now. And I'm like,
I guarantee these guys don't have any progress with anyone. And you're out there shooting shots, and they're just feed the fire.
Well,
go for it, bro.
Well, one of them just got engaged last week.
Oh, well, never mind. Never mind.
But they're both in long-term, really long-term relationships, which is different than, like, being in the dating world,
see,
I think.
I agree. I think guys who, like, this is like Arnav. He's been dating for 6-7 years, whatever it is, and he's giving all this advice. The game has changed since we were in middle school, bro.
He's out of touch.
He is.
Middle school.
Like, these guys in long-term relationships, like, you pulled one girl once in your life, and now you're giving advice like you're a big hot shot. Like, what?
Yes. Thank you.
That's awesome, though. Okay, so, speaking of haircuts... My brother cut his own hair yesterday.
He cut his own hair?
It's never happened before.
Brianne didn't cut it for him. He cut his own hair.
No, she wasn't here yesterday. She was at work. And I go down into the basement, and I was watching some World Cup. And I come up, and he had cut it, like, by himself in the mirror. And at first I was like, oh, it looks pretty good. Like, his hair is kind of hard to mess up. It's just so thick.
Yeah.
And then I got closer. It's a total shank job, dude. Like, he took his sideburns away. They're gone. They're totally gone. And then, like, behind the ear is a total, total disaster.
No, Nick.
Like, he couldn't see behind his ear. So there's, like, you know how in Phantom Menace, Obi-Wan's got that tiny, it's not even like a rat tail. It's like a tiny little strand of hair.
Yeah.
He's got that everywhere.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it looks bad. And then my mom got home. She's like, oh, you went and got your hair cut? And he's like, yeah, you could say that. She's like, it looks great. And then she got closer. She's like, what happened? Good from afar, far from a good.
Dude, so, all right, first off, did he get it fixed?
No, it's still like that today. He has not fixed it.
We were talking about, I can't remember what the phrase was. It was like personal idioms in our comm class.
Okay.
And she was like, just write phrases that you or your friends have used or you've heard them use. That if someone else heard them, they have no idea what they mean.
Okay.
They mean something to you.
Okay.
And the first thing I thought of was like, good from afar. I was like, I can't write that one down because I don't want her to like think I'm a jerk.
Dude, I feel like we have a lot of those.
We do.
Just a lot of them. Okay. I have a story for you.
Okay.
I gave you a bit of a summary about my trip to the allergist.
Yeah.
I want to go into detail with you right now because I think you're going to appreciate it.
Please.
So I went to the allergist 2 weeks ago now, probably, because my allergies have been getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, which is really weird because mine, like, I have really bad ones and they're fine. It's weird that yours are messing up still.
So I walk in there, and first thing I want to note is I'm in there alone. I go up to the front desk and she gives me this clipboard of like 12 sheets of documents. And I sit down and I have a pen. And I have all this stuff to fill out. I have no, I don't know any of the answers to any of them.
It's like, what's your insurance provider?
Yeah.
How many, what's all your doctor's name?
Who's your guardian? Blah, blah, blah. Like all this stuff. I'm like, okay. Which led me to the theory that I think these medical documents, this paperwork you fill out in the lobby, I don't think anyone has any idea what's going on there. They're just, they're writing in random stuff and the people sitting behind the desk collecting it, they don't know what they're doing either.
They don't know what it's for.
It's just like a joint ignorance of what is going on these paperworks. And so I was just writing down random stuff. I was skipping half the things. I was answering what I could. I think I was writing wrong answers in certain spots. And I'm like, I don't think this lady's actually going to read this. And if she did, there's no way for her to verify if it's real or not. It's like a, I don't know. So that was my first observation. But I want to say this. This was the most fun doctor's trip I've ever had. I hate going to the doctor. I walked out of this place thoroughly, thoroughly satisfied with my experience. It was fantastic. I walk in there, and the doctor's like, all right, allergies get worse for people as you get older. You all, like, everyone comes in here and says, this was my worst allergy season yet. And he's like, yeah, that's true, because it just gets worse and worse and worse as your body breaks down to this over time. I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
That's kind of depressing.
Then he's like, we're going to get this figured out for you, and this is not going to be a part of your life anymore. I'm like, let's go.
Let's go. He's fixing your life.
So he says, okay, my nurse is about to come in here and give you your shots, your, like, your testing.
Yeah.
So he's like, take your shirt off. So I take my shirt off. I lay down on my stomach. I'm laying on my back, and this nurse comes in. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but nurses – I don't know what it is, but I've had a whole lot of nurses that seem like they smoke a pack a day.
Yes.
And yes. I just don't believe it can be true because they're nurses. But this lady walks in. She's got wrinkles all over her face. She's probably 35. She looks like she's 60. She's got a raspy voice. I'm like, what is going on here? Anyway, she comes in and she's got like these six kind of like rows of prickly things.
Yeah, it, I've had it done.
It's okay, you've worst. Had it done, yeah.
Yeah.
So she's like, it's not a needle, but it's going to hurt like a cat with sharp nails jumping on your back. I'm like, fantastic. That's good to hear. So she goes and like starts like pressing them into my back in rows. And it hurt. And then she says, okay, you've got 15 minutes. You can't itch. So just lay here and get your phone out. That's when I texted you and Jeff. I was like, why can I never get a cute nurse? That's when I was in the room alone as my back is welting up from all the things I'm allergic to.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why can't I ever get a cute nurse? It's always like these smoker ladies. To my surprise, 15 minutes later, the world granted me a wish. I'm laying there, and all of a sudden they knock on the door and they walk in. It's been 15 minutes. And the old lady walks back in, and she sees my welts, and she's like, oh my gosh, they're huge. She calls to one of her nurses out in the hall. She's like, hey, whatever her name is, I think you want to come take a look at this. And in she walks, dude. She was an 8 if she wasn't an 8.5. She was so cute, dude. Brunette, probably 26. Had the nurse vibe that you see in the movies, but you've never seen in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this is fantastic. I've got my shirt off. This is great. So they come in and they start measuring my welts. And they're like, wow, this is some of the biggest ones we've seen. All this stuff. They start taking measurements. And they're like, the whole time, just like, wow, wow, wow. I'm like, are you guys messing with me? Like, do you say this to everyone? Like the skydive guys say when everyone goes up there. And they're like, no, like, this is legitimately, like, these are the biggest ones we've seen. And all this stuff. So then they leave. The doctor comes in and he's like, yo, like, we do this every day for a living, and all the nurses are out there talking about your welts. I'm like, sick. Like, this is pretty cool. So he's like, all right, sit up. And he starts talking to me, and he looks at him. He's like, oh my gosh, let's get some alcohol and some lotion on these to get these welts down. So he calls her back in, and she's rubbing my back down with this lotion and alcohol. And I'm just sitting there, and he's talking to me. He's talking to me. He's telling me all these things that I should be listening to. And the whole time I'm just doing your conversation advancement technique. Uh-huh.
Conversation, yeah, yeah. Involvement. Yeah.
Conversation involvement. As she's just rubbing lotion on my back. I was just like, this is fantastic. This is great. This is what I've dreamed of. It was great. It was so fun.
So the best doctor's experience you've ever had doesn't revolve around getting your allergies taken care of, but having a really attractive girl rub lotion on your back.
It was so great. It was great.
I can't argue with that.
It was really so great.
Well, did you actually get your allergies taken care of?
So based on the measurements of the welts on your back, they then make a concoction and they send it to the lab. And based on what you're allergic to, I was allergic to pollen and dust, but you can see like the specific types of dust and pollen.
Yeah.
So they're in there like concocting that up for me. And then I start my shots next week.
Okay.
So I should be cured, finally.
Well, here's hoping that she's the one that gives you the shots.
Yeah, dude. Please. Please. It was great, though, dude. It was great. You would have loved it. You would have absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't love that?
Exactly.
So, been watching the World Cup.
I have been.
Okay, well, actually, let's go back. What did you miss over the, like, 2.5 weeks? Like, did you come back and just like, what? That happened?
Okay, so we had a TV in our room on the boat. And I could see, basically, we had Fox News and we had ESPN. Okay. That's all they had. So I saw all the stuff going on with, like, North Korea and all that stuff. I was, like, keeping up with that. And then the only sports I saw was, like, the score of the game. Because we were over there during the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals.
Yeah.
And I told you about my huge bet with Arnav that the Cavs weren't making the finals.
Sorry about that.
And so I wasn't able to see any of the games because they were on at, like, 3 or 4 a.m. In England.
Yeah.
So I just wake up, like, 2 hours after the game ends and see the score. That's it. So that's the only way I kept track of it. And when the Celtics won the first two games, I was like, this is amazing. I was on cloud nine. I was like, oh, my gosh, I got this bet right. Like, let's go. And then I just saw LeBron, his stat line every game, 40 points, 40 points, 40 points, triple-double. I was like, what is going on here? It was incredible, dude. So we missed the last game of the Eastern Conference Finals by like a day. We got back the next day.
Yeah. It was definitely the best series out of the whole like playoffs by far.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to watch.
Yeah. So I missed that, but I saw all the finals.
So you saw game one? Good.
I saw
game one. That was the only one worth watching.
The rest were awful. Game one was awful. So like 50 points and your team can't do anything for you.
Yep. I feel so bad because that's like the best thing in sports is watching one player do absolutely whatever he can to win.
Yeah.
And just carrying the team.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what LeBron.
And then he couldn't get a break from the refs, from Ty Lue not calling a timeout, JR just being full moron. Like it was just awful, dude. On the boat, just seeing the stat lines and a couple quick highlights of the games, I was on the path to saying that LeBron is the GOAT. I was like there. I was ready to argue it. And then after game one, I was like fully convinced like MJ never did anything like this against the Warriors and the away crowd and the refs. And I was like, this guy's the GOAT. And then as the series went on and it seemed like he gave up in game four. And then what really killed me was when I found out that he punched a blackboard and broke his hand. That's when I was like, okay, I got ahead of the race here. He's not the GOAT. He's still number two because that was a moronic move.
Yes, I'll agree. But at the same time, I wanted to punch a blackboard and break my hand watching those games too.
Yeah, I know.
So I know. I can't imagine actually playing it.
I don't blame him for it, but I'm not going to – actually, I guess I do blame him for it. I guess I do.
Watching LeBron in the fourth quarter of game four – like probably like from the end of the third quarter all the way through the fourth.
Yeah.
You could just tell he knew they were going to lose.
Oh,
and so he just decided, I'm going to prove just how bad my team is. Because I don't think he took a shot after like 11 minutes left in the fourth. He just kept passing it. And they just kept missing it.
Yeah, he was done with it. He was done with it.
Yeah. I watched someone put together a 2.5-minute clip just of the four games in that series where LeBron would pass to someone with an open three. And they missed the shot. And I was like, this is all from just four games.
Dude, they had so many good looks.
And it just blows my mind that because you watch people like Jeff Green and George Hill and J.R. Smith, who've all been rejected by other teams, look really good against like occasionally. And then they just come into the finals, they come into the playoffs. And you're like, how are they in the NBA?
I know. And so with the end of the finals, sports normally ends. But thankfully, we get the Kawhi news yesterday. Which
is hilarious.
Dude, I think it's going to be LeBron, Kawhi, and then either PG or Chris Paul in LA.
I think you're probably right. I didn't really see why he would go to LA with just Paul George.
Yeah.
Because Paul George, I think, I'm not a fan. I don't think he's that great.
No, I don't either.
I don't think he's the kind of player that would complement LeBron, but if you can get him and Kawhi and then Chris Paul,
yeah.
I mean, that's a really good team right there, even if you're in the West.
I think the move by Kawhi is brilliant because
I did too.
He's got 1 year left on his deal. So by saying this, no one else is going to trade for him other than the Lakers.
Yeah.
Because like if Boston wants him, they're not trading away anyone for him because he's leaving in a year.
No. And Boston would literally is going to come back and be the best team in the East next year.
Exactly.
So,
and the other thing it does is Popovich really has his hands tied now because if he wants to stick it to Kawhi and say, nah, you're staying here, well, then he's missing out on any trade value he could get by giving away right now.
Yeah, he's just throwing money at him and then letting him leave.
Yeah, and not getting Kuzma or Lonzo in return at least. Yeah. So it's almost like he's got to trade him or he's not going to get anything in return. He's just going to lose him in a year.
I was kind of, I don't know, because there's like, you know, this whole week it's been like, especially like a month ago, Pop was like, you know, we've been talking to Kawhi. We feel like he's going to stay. He's happy to be with the organization. And just imagining like you get LeBron and Pop teaming up and then they make it to the finals. It would be Pop versus Brad Stevens, LeBron versus
Tatum.
Yeah, Kyrie. Like, that's just, like, a really good coaching and player mashup I wanted to see.
That would be really good. But if we get Lakers and Celtics, that is so good for the NBA.
Oh, it's, yeah.
I mean, that's like the Yankees versus the Cowboys, basically.
Yeah. The only thing that is still making me kind of like, I don't see why he would do it, is because I feel like LeBron's always been so big on his legacy as a player. Like, he wants to be known as the best. He wants to go down in history.
Yeah.
And going to the Lakers, he would leave his career as probably maybe the sixth best Laker ever.
It depends on what he does out there.
Yeah, but even like, because you know how, I mean, Lakers fans are very similar to like, you know, I mean, Brett Favre, still the greatest Packers quarterback.
Right.
Not Rodgers or,
yeah.
You know, just people like that that want to hold on to like the old, like Kobe, Shaq, Kareem, you know.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I think we need it. I think we need it badly.
I do too.
I'm sick of the Warriors and the Cavs. I'm just done. Like, the Cavs are done.
Yeah, they've been done. Like, it's like without LeBron, they're not even probably a positive win team.
No, they're not. They're so bad. And I really like the East Coast v West Coast. If LeBron goes to LA, we'll have basically the state of California with the Warriors and the Lakers versus Philly and Boston.
Which is going to be great.
It'll be awesome. Cross-country trips, whole countries involved with it. It'll be great. Big brands. It's going to be great.
The other thing is Jason Tatum is legit.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
I know you didn't watch any of those seven games. I don't know if you saw highlights, but he's like so much fun to watch. And it just makes it better because, you know, this guy's 20 years old doing this. This is awesome.
He's a rookie, isn't he?
He's a rookie, yeah.
He's going to be so good. Like, Brad Stevens and him, I think they're going to win a couple rings together.
Yeah. And bringing back Kyrie and Gordon Hayward next year, too, it's just going to be so much fun to watch.
I mean, if LeBron leaves the East, they're in the finals. As long as Simmons doesn't turn into, like, the GOAT over one offseason.
Philly's literally the only team that could probably have a chance of stopping them. And even then, they're not all the way there yet.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So basketball's over, and thank God we have the World Cup, dude.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this World Cup. Like, first off, it's like the March Madness I didn't get where I just get to turn the game on at school and just be like, this is great.
Yeah.
So did you watch the Portugal-Spain game yesterday?
I saw it. It was amazing.
It was amazing.
It was so good.
My gosh. I just absolutely love Ronaldo. I love watching him play. I love every time he has the ball. It's just so exciting to watch.
That was the most impressive soccer performance I've seen ever. But I haven't watched a lot of soccer, so take that for what it's worth. It was incredible, dude. He dominated the game.
The free kick was amazing. I don't know how he curved it that far to go in the corner.
Filthy. It was filthy.
My gosh.
It's so clutch too, dude. It was so clutch.
Yeah.
We've had some amazing games already.
Yeah. I was so upset about the Morocco game. Because I went through, I did this whole pick'em with a bunch of people. I have World Cup Fantasy League. I've got this game guy, game predictor. And I had Morocco 1-0, and they scored their own goal.
And it was late in the game, too, wasn't it?
It was, like, the 88th minute.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there. And, like, the guy, you're supposed to stay on the goal side of your defender. Yeah. I don't know where the guy he was guarding was, but he wasn't anywhere near an enemy player.
Jeez, dude.
And he dove, like, parallel to the ground to head that ball. He was making sure he got it. And then he just pointed it straight at the goal. I didn't understand.
Did you see the Iceland-Argentina game this morning?
No, I did not. I didn't get a chance.
Awesome. Okay, firstly, you know how we're Team Iceland.
Yes, we are.
I think we've talked about this.
We have talked about this. Okay, I just want to go ahead and clarify. I am Team Iceland and Team Croatia right now.
Croatia's playing right now.
Yeah, I know. I've got it streaming on my laptop while we're talking.
I'm watching it too right now. So I woke up and it was like 9 probably. And the game started at 8, I believe. So I ran downstairs and it was almost at half. So maybe it was like 8:30 it started. But Messi looked awful.
He did.
Dude.
I heard that.
He looked so bad. Firstly, he missed a penalty kick to go up 2-1 and basically win the game. So the game was so dominated by Argentina. Iceland didn't even touch the ball in the second half. Like, Argentina, the entire second half was applying pressure on their side of the field, on Iceland's side of the field.
That's crazy.
Iceland couldn't clear it. They couldn't move the ball. Every time they got it, they would just kick it away. They were playing for the tie for the last 45 minutes. I can't believe they won it. So Messi gets up to the PK and tied 1-1. If he makes it, they're basically going to win because Iceland is putting no pressure on him. And he kicks it like almost right down the middle, real soft.
Ugh.
It was weak. It was so weak.
Because he
had 2 free kicks and one in like the 88th minute, just like Ronaldo yesterday.
Really? That's the one I saw the highlight of, was him missing that one.
He like hits the wall. It wasn't even close. Yeah. He played awfully. He played so bad.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, he's still a good player to watch. And he's probably a better overall player than Ronaldo is.
Yeah.
But I love watching Ronaldo. I think Ronaldo's better. I love watching Ronaldo more. But, that's so weird he missed the PK. I saw – because I saw the stat line. Like the,
it was bad. It was bad.
Missed PK.
But I got to give Iceland a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Because they have no – on their team. It's all hustle, hard work, and grit. They are the Matthew Dellavedova of FIFA.
I mean, tying Argentina is basically like a win for them.
Yeah. Oh,
because
they walked out of there celebrating. They're like, "Let's go!" The fans were doing their skull chant. Like, it's a good community of fans. There's a lot of energy, and all they do is sprint and tackle hard. They are hardworking blue chip players. I love them. I really love them, dude.
Who did you pick like a bracket? Who do you have in your final?
I did not pick a bracket.
You didn't pick a bracket.
I did not pick a bracket.
I went with my heart, even though I know it's wrong, and I put Portugal going to the finals.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen. I know because there's that team that's going to go out and they'll like play Spain, who's probably the best team in the world right now.
Yeah,
and
they looked good.
They'll tie them 3-3, and then they'll go out and they'll lose to like, you know, Egypt or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever other trash is in their division, just because like if Ronaldo's not playing well or he's tired, they struggle. It's just
they don't have anyone else to help them. LeBron. It's like LeBron,
and it sucks because like there's nothing you can do about that because it's just who was born in Portugal.
Hey. Yeah, yeah, exactly. If he plays like he did though, they can beat anyone anywhere.
Yeah. If he's playing well, he can completely take over the game.
Yeah.
So I think it'll probably be Germany winning it all against. Like Brazil. So
I was talking to Calvin yesterday and he said, who do you think is going to win? And I said Germany, but honestly, I don't know enough about soccer to make any confident picks. I'm going Germany.
Germany and Spain are probably the best teams in the world, but they have to play each other, which sucks because then we're going to probably get like not a great final.
How do you know they have to play each other?
They're in the same the way the bracket lines up, that they'll have to play each other if they make it in like the semifinals.
Okay.
So as long as they finish top two in their groups, those are the people that move on.
Right.
Yeah. So the way the groups are going to end up, they'll play like Germany will probably end up playing Colombia out of the other group in their quarterfinals, and Spain will play like Nigeria or France, which those aren't bad teams, but they're not nearly as quality.
I thought Spain looked really good yesterday, other than the fact that they were playing Ronaldo and their goalie goofed that one goal. I thought they looked really solid other than that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very, very good. They have they control pretty much all of European soccer. So
are the Netherlands in it this year?
They're not. It's really sad because I love the Netherlands.
Really?
Yeah. They lost a lot of people like they had like Robin. Arjen Robben. Yeah. Just those people that just got too old to keep playing.
Dang. Well, if it keeps up how it's been, it's going to be a great World Cup. I just wish we were in it. I really do.
I know. Same. Because there's just something fun about like having everyone care about soccer. Because no one really knows a ton about it, and you're all watching it, and it's just like exciting. You're
all trying to figure it out.
You have no idea who anyone on the field is. They're just like screaming, "Let's go, number 9!" I know.
And you all hate the same players because they do something dumb, even though you don't know if it's dumb or not.
Okay, just scream at the TV.
I cannot wait for World Cup 2026. It's gonna be,
I know,
wild.
Like, you have to go. You can't not try to go. At least be in the general area.
You have to go. There's gonna be a game in Atlanta. There's gonna be a game in LA, and there's gotta be one in New York. That like those are locks. Like new stadiums.
Big cities, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be so fun. So we have to go to a game. We're probably going to be married at that point. So we can bring our wives with us.
You have a lot of expectations, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, 8 years, we'll be 30. We'll be old
men. Oh my gosh. That's terrifying to think about.
We'll be old men. We'll be hopefully millionaires. it's going to be so fun, though. Like, and here's the best part. We get an automatic bid. We're automatically in. So we don't have to deal with this garbage where we're sitting on the sidelines watching Croatia and Nigeria play.
I mean, you saw what happened to Russia just because they had home field. 5-0. That just doesn't happen in a World Cup.
And we'll have, what's his face? Pulisic, the young kid that's like our new guy. He'll be like in his prime. I don't know. Like, it could be legit. We'll have home field. We'll have Pulisic in his prime. Hopefully a good coach. I don't know.
I don't know any other players, but
that's the only one I know too. Other than Michael Bradley, who needs to.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've heard of him.
He needs to die. He's so bad.
What's that goalie's name? Tim something.
Tim Howard.
Tim Howard. Yeah. I don't know if he's still a goalie or not. I know him.
I think he's gone. I think. I'm not positive though.
For some reason, I think he is too. I don't even remember him being the last one.
Yeah, I don't think he was.
All right, but, well, I think that's it.
I think it is it. Wait, I want to make one more note.
Absolutely.
I made an observation, and this is totally, totally random. I made an observation the other day.
Okay.
And I want to run it by you.
Let's hear it.
There's a very awkward moment, very uncomfortable situation that I'm sure you've been in. And I want
I'm
to
sure
know
I have.
I want to know if it's just me or not.
Okay.
It's you go over to your friend's house, you spend the night, and you open your eyes the next morning, and it's just the morning situation at your friend's house.
That's the awkward moment?
I think it's brutal.
I think it sucks too. And this is like this, it's the same way I am with camping. I love, you know, like going over to someone's house, doing whatever until 4 o'clock in the morning. But when it's time to go to sleep, I don't want to be there anymore because I don't want to sleep where whatever they have and then have to wake up and use someone else's bathroom and someone else's shower. It's just not fun.
The other thing is, like, everyone has, like, a morning routine. And you don't really know anyone's morning routine. Like, even my closest friends, I don't know what they do in the morning. I don't know if they wake up early. I don't know if they sleep in. I don't know if They eat breakfast immediately. I don't know if I should leave before they make breakfast. Can I take a shower at your place or should I leave? Is it bad if I stink? Can I brush my... Like, it's just... Like, when you wake up at your house, you're just comfortable. Like, you walk downstairs and you just do whatever you do. Like, you don't even think about it. When you go over to a friend's house, every little move you make, I'm like, is this correct?
You feel so self-conscious about, like, yeah, are they watching me do this? Is this okay?
I went over to a friend's house a couple years ago, and, like, I got my own room. And that is even more interesting. Because then it's like, you wake up, and it's like 8:30. And you, like, go up to the door, and you try and listen, like, is anyone out there? Like, am I sleeping? Like, are they waiting for me? Or
is it okay to come out?
Yeah, if I walk out there, am I going to be small-talking to mom for 2 hours until my friend wakes up? Can I just leave, or is that rude? What do I do?
I've never, like, consciously thought about that, but you're right. It's just an awkward situation.
And then the worst part, I think, is when you're there and they make breakfast, like the breakfast conversation, like, I don't know about you, but in the morning when I wake up, don't talk to me. Like, I'm waking up. Like, I don't want to small talk at 8:39 in the morning when I'm tired.
Dude.
It's brutal.
I love Mason Bone. Yeah. I love him.
Yeah.
But, like, that New York trip, because I am not a morning person at all. And waking up, because he's the same morning, noon, and night. You know how he is. He's that energetic, talk guy. And in the morning, he's talking to me. I'm like, dude, just trying to sleep on the bus, man. Come on.
I know. It's just a very uncomfortable situation. So I think it needs to be a TV episode, because I don't think I've ever seen it in episode form.
I need a word about that, too. Like, there should be a word just for that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Well, let's think of something and we'll report back on the next episode.
That's a good idea. We can start making words. Shakespeare did it.
I'm in.
Yeah,
for that.
I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. So we'll pick a word just to define the situation. I like it.
Okay. All right. So next episode, I want your word. I'll see what I can come up with and we'll compare.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right. Perfect.
All right. All right. Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you next week.
Adios.